Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, August 3rd, 2015, and with me today I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Doing great, man.
Awesome. It's great to have you here on this I don't have a good adjective for it. It's just Monday morning. John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. I've got my Spock ears on today.
I have no doubt, and I'm glad that you do. Yeah. I'm also glad that our sponsor today is Harry's, the Razor Company. And I'll talk more about how they make my face beautiful and can make yours beautiful, too. But first, Brian, you are our on-staff guy that I'll call the Apple Car expert.
Okay. Sure. Why not?
Sure. Why not? Hey, it's my show. I can title you anything I want. So today you are Apple Car expert. And there's this report that's come out that Apple has been possibly re-entering into negotiations with BMW about maybe some car stuff. And I would love your perspective.
Well, so the story is that Apple has been hanging out at BMW, initially went there to learn more about how BMW manufactures some stuff.
And the i3.
The i3 in particular, correct.
Now, the i3 is BMW's electric car, right?
Correct. Right.
Okay.
And the source, this is from Reuters, and the source is from within BMW, BMW executive, I think, or someone within BMW. And the two companies haven't worked out a deal or anything to that effect. And it's unclear whether or not Apple is just interested in learning about manufacturing techniques from BMW if Apple could actually, at one point, one of the sources said that BMW signaled a readiness to license some parts. So some things that BMW does really well that apparently Apple likes. Whether or not they might conceivably enter into a straight-up partnership to develop Apple's car seems like a possibility. But apparently BMW realizes that they need technology companies to step into the future.
So this could be a mutually beneficial arrangement.
It could be. To me, Apple doesn't want to present to the world, here's our Apple branded BMW car. That doesn't seem like the Apple way of doing things.
I agree. Yeah, this isn't like CarPlay, where Apple wants a place in everyone's car. This is a scenario where they want to be the car.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, I look at CarPlay as the same thing Apple did with the Motorola Rocker. Right? Apple wanted to learn. Well, according to Becoming Steve Jobs, the Apple executives were hoping that Motorola, which was ruling the cell phone roost at that point with the Razr, would basically come up with a really cool iPod integrated smartphone or a cell phone, actually. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that the result was the Motorola Rocker, which was a piece of junk.
It was horrible.
And that
only hold 100 songs.
That led to the to Apple really pushing on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. So I mean, and Apple learned a lot from Motorola from that, and from about the cellular industry in particular, dealing with that project. And I mean, I guess I don't really know what to make of this. I don't know what to make of the story. about BMW. You know,
my theory, Brian, is that Apple went back and did some homework and figured out how much they were going to have to spend in R&D and tooling to develop a car chassis, and discovered that it was going to cost billions to set up a factory, an automated factory, to build cars. And the question is return on investment. And if some company like BMW has already done the R&D and already spent the billions on developing the i3 car body, why not buy parts from them and improve their return on investment? Which you talked about in the pre-show, and I thought that was, you know, pretty sensible idea.
I don't think Apple was ever looking. Apple doesn't seldom build its own factories. They own a factory in Austin now that makes Mac Pros that we know of. I think that they were going to do something interesting with the Arizona facility before GT Advanced Technologies. There's a programming term that I really want to use here, but I won't. But it involves beds and activities best left to other rooms in the house.
What you're implying is that they became very unsanitary.
Yeah. And but Apple doesn't Apple normally works with third party manufacturing partners, and we know that Apple has been in talks with what's that company? I want to call them Stigmeyer, and that's not right. Is that Kexner Close?
I'm not sure.
It's
now that you said that, that's what's stuck in my head.
Let's see. A company that makes cars for other brands. It is Stiff. It's a giant, massive conglomerate in the automobile industry. Boy, we're professionals today, aren't we?
Boy, howdy!
Did the ACM interns prepare the show?
Yeah, yes, they did. And the problem is they were trained by they never got any training. Maybe this is part of the problem.
Yeah, that could be part of the problem. So, whatever that company is that is based in Europe, that has a plant that makes specialty cars. High-end cars for other brands, essentially the boutique brands that make cars that cost, you know, hundreds of thousands to a million plus. Apple has already been in talks with them. I don't think that BMW would necessarily want to become a contract manufacturer.
I would actually be surprised if they did that.
I don't know what to make of the story yet.
Well, I think they would because, I've been in the BMW dealer here in Denver and looked at the i3 and haven't test driven it because it's rear wheel drive and it's not really good for Colorado, but I've been in one and looked at it. And they're not exactly flying off the shelves because it's rear wheel drive in Colorado anyway. And I kind of got the feeling that BMW would like to ramp up the production and get some return on investment for all that tooling and start moving on and becoming, you know, more competitive and get ready to do the i4, which would be the next generation. And that would be the winner. And so I think BMW has a motivation here to get production going, even if they're selling it to somebody else.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I don't project too much from seeing.
Yeah, I know. But results. That's just my theory. I form theories all the time. Yeah, crackpot as they are.
Yeah. Well, and we love you for it. Now, my big takeaway from this is not Apple is partnering with BMW. It's that we have more information that backs up the report that you gave us. A few months ago, Brian, about Apple getting into the car making business.
Yeah, but I mean, who's arguing with that at this point?
Well, I'm sure there's still some people out there that are arguing with that. The point is, this is just more validation for the information that you received earlier.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, and Apple has long visited companies, particularly in unrelated fields, to learn about manufacturing techniques. This is something that Apple has been doing for a very for decades.
The most famous case would be going to Menlo Park.
It's not even at all the same. It's not at all the same. Apple didn't go to Xerox Park to learn about manufacturing techniques. Steve Jobs took engineers to Xerox Park because they were doing something really cool, and Steve wanted to see it in action. And mm-hmm. that was about ideas for human interface. That was about product ideas. That's a lot different than going to another manufacturer and learning about manufacturing techniques. It's not at all related.
I'm okay disagreeing on this one.
It doesn't, dude. Learning how to tool something is not at all the same as going and finding out some revelatory way of presenting a human interface.
All right. So the way I'm looking at this isn't about, are they learning how to make a car, or are they learning the most amazing thing that's ever happened for graphic interfaces? It's about Apple knowing that they can go to other companies and glean information from them that they then use in a very powerful way.
Yeah, but sort of thing happens a lot, and not just with Apple. I mean,
but Apple's a master at this.
Yeah, Brian, I was doing a little math here on my calculator while you were talking, and if Apple spent $1 billion tooling up a plant, to be conservative, and then BMW, I wrote an article a few months ago about how BMW earns about $3,000 profit on every car they sell. I get $333,000 cars Apple would have to sell just to recover the $1 billion.
Yeah.
And so the question is how many cars can Apple sell? How successful will they be in a very competitive market with lots of other players? How much are they going to sell their car for? How much are they going to make on each car? And how long is it going to take them to recover their investment? And certainly that would lead to the idea of having somebody else do the fabrication for you.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any question of that. That's how Apple always does.
Yeah,
manufacturing these days for 98% of its products, Apple contracts manufacturing out.
Well, I know because I mentioned that because there was this meme a while back that Apple was going to had hired all these people and they were going to build a plant and they were going to build their own car, and just do it their own way. And then the question is, how long does it take to recover their investment? Tim Cook's sensitive about that. Don't want to lose money on building. Not enough cars and spending too much money in R&D and duplicating the wheel. So that's why I brought it up.
All right. Hey, we need to keep moving. So I'm going to start talking about Harry's. And the reason I want to talk about Harry's is because they are our sponsor today. And if you're not familiar with Harry's, that only means you haven't been paying attention recently because I've talked about them a lot. Harry's is a company that makes really high quality replaceable razor blade cartridges and razor blade handles. And they have their own shaving cream and shaving gel. And the stuff that they make is high quality, but not priced like the stuff that you find in grocery stores and drugstores. Their products are so much more affordable, which makes sense because they own the factory that makes their products, and they ship direct instead of putting it in stores, so they can keep their overhead a lot lower, which makes sense because then we win. We get really good products at really good prices. And one of the things that I think is actually really cool about Harry's is that even though the company is really only a couple years old, they've already started reinvesting back into the workplace. So what they do is they take 1% of all their sales, and then they also take a percentage of their man-hour time, And what they do is they donate that back to organizations that help people get their businesses started and help people learn how to be the professionals that they need to be to have successful businesses. I think that's a really cool thing to do. So you can check out their stuff. What you need to do is go to their website, harrys.com, and that's HARRYS.com, and take a look at what they have. Now, I bought the Truman Kit to get started, and I'm absolutely loving mine. And this is saying a lot, because I'm the guy that bailed on disposable cartridges years ago because the quality was low and the prices were too high. And yet, I'm really liking what I'm getting with the Harry's products now. The Truman Kit costs $15. That's it. Comes with some blades, and when you need more, then you just order what you need or set up a schedule so stuff is just shipped to you when you need it. That $15, though, is only going to be $10 for you, because you can use the special discount code TDO, and you're going to get $5 off your first order. So that Truman Kit will be $10 instead of $15, and Harry's doesn't charge shipping. So it's just $10 to get started. And when you need new blades, those are super inexpensive also. If you need other shaving supplies from them, those are inexpensive as well. And you're not going to pay shipping. That's a beautiful thing. So go to their website, harrys.com. Check them out. Get yourself a starter kit like the Truman. And use the discount code TDO. Get yourself $5 off and start getting a better shave today. Thank you, Harry's. Okay, there's one other thing that I wanted to look at before we wrap up. And this is just one of those things that is so, so cool, or at least I think it is. It turns out that all you need to turn your iPhone into a hologram projector is an old CD jewel case, a little bit of tape, and a link to the right videos. Yeah. So there's this guy that posted a YouTube video showing how to cut out the pieces that you need from a jewel case and then put them together to make this kind of pyramid shape. And then you set that on your iPhone display. And then when you play these specially created videos, it creates a hologram projection in the middle of the pyramid. And it is so, so cool and amazingly simple to do.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. The videos the holograms that I've seen so far are really neat, but I have yet to find Princess Leia feeding a disc into R2-D2 saying, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope." So whoever gets that hologram video, let me know, because I want to play that on my iPhone.
It seems like the folks at Disney should release that for us.
They should totally do that. Yeah. And John, when I first brought this up, you questioned whether this is really a hologram.
Well, yeah, in the classical sense of generating the hologram in space, as opposed to, and this is my theory from having just briefly looked at it, that is using an optical technique. On a hologram that's been created already using the proper techniques and lasers, and then a 2D projection of that hologram on the iPhone display is being optically reflected off the surfaces of the plastic in the proper way in order to simulate a real 3D hologram. That's my theory so far, having just briefly looked at it. I could be wrong, but that's what I think is happening.
Well, regardless, this is so fracking cool.
It is cool.
It is really cool. Magnus Steyr is the company, or Steyr. Steyr.
Ah, okay. Magnus Steyr.
It's a throwback to the first segment.
Got it. And I'm so glad the interns finally came through for us.
Indeed. This little holographic thing... The video is like a guy doing it himself. Someone needs to make this.
Oh, my guess is someone already has. But there's something cool about breaking out your X-Acto knife and an old CD jewel case and building your own. you know, because you can. But I bet if I took the time or had our interns take the time to do a search, they'd be able to find something for us. Of course, they're so busy with all the tasks we assigned them for Apple Context Machine. I don't think they'll have time for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyhow, this is so cool. You guys need to check it out. I'll make sure that the link is in the show notes so you can see the video on how to build your own. And let me know what you think when you build one, because I think this is really cool. I want to know if you think it's cool too. So, hey, we are out of time. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome.
Yep, it's always awesome having both of you here. Thank you to Harry's for being our sponsor today. Head to their website, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO. Get yourself $5 off your first order and start getting a better shave right away. And listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.